Baby, could you just take a look at something?
What?
Just right here on my back.
This is a conversation that's been happening around the metro.
Does that look like a spider bite?
Hold on, let me see. No, it looks like a mosquito bite.
But it's been there for a long time, like a few days, and it's like red all around it.
Like, sometimes they get. Mosquito bites get red and big. Remember that one? Callie has one like that, kind
But not for so many days.
of. Not a spider bite. It doesn't have those two marks like a spider. I think it's just a mosquito bite.
So annoying.
The answer to these citywide backscratch dilemmas may be oak mites. I'm Gina Kaufman, and in case you haven't heard, the oak mite has been inflicting mysterious bug bites in Kansas and Missouri this year. We aren't typically oak mite territory, so people have been pretty weirded out by it. Today on KCUR's Central Standard, we're going to find out what the deal is with oak mites. And just a heads up, our nature exploration gets less itchy as the hour progresses. Stay tuned for a novelist's meditation on gardens later on. For now, oak mites. Dr. Pavika Sarapalli, you work in health services at KU. When did you start hearing about unusual bug bites?
Well, last year we had a really early peak with insect bites in late August, early September. And at first we didn't know what they were because they looked a little different. And then we got information through the public health in K-State that we were having an oak mite kind of bloom and epidemic. And then we kind of saw the pattern, and the first frost came, it died off. But sure enough, this fall they're back again, and this year we know what they are, so we're a little more prepared.
So let's back up. When you first started encountering these bites, what were you hearing and what did you think was going on?
Well, the students were saying that they were incredibly itchy, by far the itchiest bite they had ever gotten. And they do last a long time and get very red and very large. So a lot of people were coming in saying, I'm afraid I've gotten a spider bite.
Were you afraid of that when you heard and saw what people were dealing with?
Not really. They don't look like spider bites, and spider bites are typically painful, not itchy. But we definitely wanted to take them seriously, especially on a college campus. The buildings are old. We have spiders. So we wanted to make sure that we didn't brush people off. But they clearly look and behave differently. So we knew that that's not what was going on.
So were there any other false predictions, or you just were it was mysterious and then you figured it out?
Well, we thought about scabies. They don't look like scabie bites, but that's about how itchy they are, and people were just driving themselves crazy, scratching themselves in their sleep. So at first we thought, well, it doesn't look like scabies, but better safe than sorry. And I know I personally treated probably one or two people for scabies last year at first. They also look a lot like chigger bites, but they go in a different distribution. Chigger bites tend to be in your warm body spots, and these are always on the exposed areas of your body, so that was kind of confusing as well.
Warm body spots. I've never heard that phrase before.
I'm sorry, maybe that's not a good way of putting it, but yeah, chiggers like to go in your socks and in your waistline, by your belt and in your underarms, and the oak mites always want to go in the neck and the shoulders and the upper body because they're exposed and they can just fall right on you and easily access that area. So we knew they look like chigger bites. They act like chigger bites, but they're not in the right spots.
Gotcha.
So that was another thought. Yeah.
So you started getting these calls, and then this fall after the first frost is when it's really started to pick up, you were saying?
No, I would say it seems that since the leaves started turning and falling off the trees, in early August when it was hotter, we didn't see as much of it. But after Labor Day, I think it's really picked up quite a bit.
What? So the leaves falling is the cause of that?
I don't know. I think that definitely plays a role. I think also just the school year started and our campus has a lot of oak trees and people are walking all over the place. So it may just simply be that people are going where the mites are, but I'm sure they're falling down with the leaves as well as just falling down all by themselves. So it's easy access for them.
Are people, I mean, you mentioned spiders, but I'm not in the habit of calling the doctor when I get a bug bite, and you work with college students who aren't known for being really proactive about visiting doctors. There must be something about this particular bite that's kind of freaking them out. Is it just the spider bite thing, or is it something else?
I think that they're worried, and they would rather just make sure, because everyone's worried about the spider bite that turns into a big open sore, which almost never happens. But honestly, I do think because there's a lot of old wives' tales about, oh, the dorms have spiders, or all old buildings have spiders. So I think college students are always kind of on the lookout for spiders when they move into their dorms. But I think it's the intense itch. I mean, they're very uncomfortable, and they're waiting for the bites to go away, and they're not going away. And I think it's just that it's driving them crazy, and they want it to stop.
Is this one of the itches that you are not supposed to scratch?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There aren't too many itches you should scratch, but I think with this one, that's a big part of why they don't go away so quickly, is even though people are keeping their hands off as much as they can, it's really hard not to scratch. And then in your sleep, I think people are scratching without realizing it.
This might be a little outside the territory of just the oak mite, but if we're not supposed to scratch, do you know why we itch? I mean, does itching serve any purpose?
That's like, why is the sky blue? That's a great question. I know that the body's allergic response involves histamine, and histamine causes your blood vessels to dilate to increase blood flow to the area. I think that's your body's way of trying to get rid of the offending substance and also maybe get rid of any potential infection that could be co-occurring. But unfortunately, histamine also produces itching as kind of a byproduct. So the itching itself really might not be part of the helpful response, but it certainly gets your attention, and you'll make an effort to avoid things that make you itch. So in the long run, it's probably productive.
So if people are not supposed to itch or scratch their itches, what do you advise them to do?
You have a few good options. I would definitely invest in hydrocortisone over-the-counter cream. And even though they say you can only use it once or twice a day, I always tell people, when your hand goes up to itch, put the cream on instead. And that way you'll be making that bite go away instead of enhancing its growth. Benadryl, if it's not too sedating, is wonderful. But if you can't tolerate the sedation of Benadryl, any of your over-the-counter antihistamines are useful and will definitely make the bite go away faster.
Are you surprised to see oak mites here this year? I guess we had them once before in 2004, but I don't remember it being such a big deal.
You know, from what I've read, it's just sort of unpredictable and relates to weather patterns and moisture. And I'm also not sure if you get a bumper crop of mites, if you're more likely to get another season that's bad in the future, because now you've got all these little reproductive kind of annoying pests. And the entomologist that you have coming on later can probably speak more to it. But
We will get him to elaborate for sure.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, kind of bugs beget bugs, I think.
Well, bugs beget bugs. You heard it here first. Thanks, Dr. Sarapalli.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Pavika Sarapalli joined us from Watkins Health Center at KU. Rick Miller is the gentleman she referred to just a moment ago. He's with us now from the K-State Extension in Johnson County, where he's an agriculture agent. And Rick, I hear that as part of your job, you are responsible for home pests. What is a home pest?
Yeah, so think about all those insects crawling around your home, whether that's ants or spiders or termites, cockroaches, oak leaf itch mites. Those are what we refer to as home pests then.
So that they live in your house?
Yeah, in or immediately around your house, and all those things that give us issues from time to time. Those are the things we get a lot of calls on. We have a lot of publications on, even do some classes on from time to time. And right now, all the calls have tended to be on this oak leaf itch mite.
Really? So you're getting tons of calls about it.
We are. So it's pretty easy to kind of take the temperature of the community and what's going on out there by the number of phone calls that we get, either coming in directly to someone like myself, or we have an extension Master Gardener hotline where people are used to asking questions about lawn and garden. So as they're outside doing those kind of chores, and then just like the students on campus at KU, all of a sudden seeing all these red, itchy bites on them, they want to know what it is, how to control them, and not have to deal with that anymore.
I fear that we might be driving people crazy talking about itching so much, but I was thinking before that a home pest would be like as opposed to a visiting pest. And if we imagine that I'm right, even though I'm not, is the oak mite a home pest in that sense, or is it just visiting?
I think it's just visiting. Like many pests, you know, it's kind of seasonal. It's really something that happens probably mid to late summer, and then here in the fall, we don't tend to see them the rest of the year. So kind of that occasional visiting one is great. And then even as you talked a little bit earlier with the doctor, every year is not as bad as perhaps the year before. You know, you indicated that this first kind of cropped up on our radar screen here in Kansas about a dozen years ago in 2004, but it's not been this bad every year. Some years it's just not high enough populations we even see that, or we get that many calls. But unfortunately, right now it's one of those high peak years and we're getting a lot of calls.
What do you think accounts for that? I mean, is it the reproductive cycle of the bug itself? Is it weather, environmental conditions?
Yes, you're an expert already. You hit it on the head. Those reasons. You know, there's so many environmental conditions that cause those populations to rise or ebb and flow. So the amount of moisture and temperature within a given year, the insect's individual life cycle, how fast they are able to reproduce. And on the oak leaf itch mites, that only happens in about a week. So in a very short period of time, they can rebreed and start those cycles all over again. And then a lot of it has to do with their food supply. You have to remember that oak leaf itch mites primarily are out there feeding on another insect on the oak tree.
What insect is that?
It's actually called a midge. And a midge in its adult
form. That's a real name of a bug.
It is. So a midge in an adult form is really a very small fly, almost a wasp type fly. And that earlier in the season, that fly will lay eggs on the leaves of oak trees. Those eggs will eventually hatch out into larvae. And as the larvae feed on that oak leaf a little bit, they secrete a substance that causes that oak leaf to deform or form a gall around that larva. So if you've ever looked at oak leaves and you've seen this kind of puffy gall around the margins or on the vein,
oh yeah,
that's this midge that's causing it to happen. Well, that larva that's rolled up inside the gall, almost like a hot dog on a bun or something, that mite, that oak leaf itch mite, is actually preying upon the larva, and that's their primary host. So if you've got a lot of galls, a lot of midges, then you got a banquet for all of those oak leaf mites.
Well, if they're eating that stuff, why do they care about us?
Because eventually they run out of their primary food source, and those populations have built up so fast to take care of that, they're looking for something else. Or as they get dislodged from that leaf, maybe that leaf falls to the ground here in the fall, or just the wind knocks them off, because you're talking about hundreds and thousands of those mites on the leaves and on the tree. They land on us. We're not their primary host, but they're still hungry, so they're looking for something to feed on, and so they're going to start biting us. And
what is it they get from us? I mean, they're not puncturing deep in like... I mean, what is it they get from just the surface of our skin?
Good question. So they're feeding on that larva, really sucking the juices out of it.
Ew.
I know, isn't that a great picture? Well, they're trying to do the same for us. They're not after a bloodbath like ticks or mosquitoes are, but they're really after the juices in our body. So as they bite, they're sampling us and seeing if that's good material to eat or not. And it may take several bites or even a day or two to figure out we're not their primary source. But in the meantime, we're getting the effect of all those bites. And next thing you know, you've got, you know, a dozen, 20, 50 bites on your body. And I think it's just the number of those bites and the severity of that itching which draws the great attention then.
How big is the oak mite itself?
You know, it's really, really small. I usually tell people they're pretty much microscopic. They're about 0.2 of a millimeter or 1/100th of an inch big. So really with the naked eye, we can't see them. You've got to be able to use a microscope. You might compare that with a chigger, which is also a mite. You could actually see that little bitty chigger crawling on your leg or arm if you were out in the tall grass. You probably will never see that oak leaf itch mite crawling around on you.
Well, what does it look like? I mean, I know it's microscopic. Have you gotten to see it under a microscope?
You know, I have. We've got a stereo microscope at the office that we use for identifying insects that people bring in. And last week, I went out and collected some oak leaves and looked at them underneath the scope. And I believe I found some. They are incredibly tiny. So even under the scope, they're pretty hard to see. They tend to be almost clear, tannish in color. All mites have 8 legs, so that's pretty obvious. You can see those 8 legs out there, but they're very slowly crawling around on that leaf. And if you'd rub it on your skin or just imagine those kind of floating through the air as you're outside doing chores and they're getting on your face and neck and arms and shoulders, that exposed skin.
This is horrible.
Yeah, they're sampling you then to see if you're anything good to eat. And I always tell people, you're not probably feeling the bite. They're so small, you're not feeling that bite. And the results of their bites don't usually show up for probably half a day, 10, 14 hours later. But you're outside all day long, you go to bed, you wake up the next morning, and you wonder where all these bites came from.
And is that why a lot of people think that it happened to them in bed?
Yes, exactly. Because if you are out working during the day or in the afternoon or you come home at night and work, those bites aren't going to show up, like I said, till 10 or 14 hours later. So you sleep on it, wake up, and you think, did I get bitten during the night? And of course, some people might think of bed bugs that has grown in severity. But you kind of have to trace back your activity. And that was when you were outside doing gardening or mowing the lawn or playing with the kids in the leaves.
This creature sounds really kind of awful. I mean, is there anything good about it? Does it like control some other pest population or provide a food source for something we're more fond of?
You know, that's a great question. My daughter is 15 years old, and we just had this conversation the other day about why we have some insects. And most insects have a purpose and they're good. They either break down organic matter or they feed on other insects, and so they're good. I'm not sure I found a great reason for the oak leaf itch mite yet. So maybe we could ask people to tell us a good reason for having those around.
Do you, I mean, as a guy who specializes in pests, I mean, that seems like my skin is crawling a little bit just from this one conversation, but you kind of talk about this kind of creature all day long. And I appreciate that you're being honest that you can't find the good in the oak mite, which you're also calling the itch mite.
Yep.
Do you find good in other pests, or do you just have a good attitude about these creatures that gets you through the day specializing in them?
Good question. I try to see the good in most things. So even in pests, I try to think the good. You know, take an example of a termite. We know how destructive they are in your house, and we hate to have those. But in nature, termites are great because they're breaking down all those trees that are dying in the woods and turning them into compost and eventually to soil. So they have a very positive purpose out in the environment. We just don't want them in our home or our apartment chewing on the wood that we live in our homes then. I just can't think of a really good reason why those oak leaf itch mites are out there. Maybe to sell Benadryl and calamine lotion and cortisone cream.
Aha, it's a conspiracy.
Absolutely.
What questions do you have about the oak mite? I mean, do you think there's some bigger story that this bug's appearance in our area might be telling us?
You know, one of the questions I certainly have, we talked about this coming on the scene in 2004, about a dozen years ago. The literature talks about it probably came from Europe. And so why did it mysteriously show up here in the Midwest back in the early 2000s? You know, did that come with some grass seed or something else that caused that to pop up? And now that it's here, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse. I don't know. That's a good question.
Agriculture agent Rick Miller from the K-State Extension. Thanks so much.
Awesome. It's been fun being here. Thanks a lot, Gina.
When KCOR Central Standard returns, a little relief. Why a novelist is meditating on gardens, a new project from Thomas Fox Averill. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay tuned.